Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Many of you will know the frustration that comes with sleepless nights. And according to my next guest, 30 to 50% of adults experience occasional sleep problems. A further 1 in 10 suffer from chronic insomnia, which is diagnosed in those who have trouble sleeping for at least 3 days a week and for a period greater than 3 months. Well, Miranda Levy is a freelance journalist and the author of The Insomnia Diaries, How I Learned to Sleep Again, which charts her 8-year battle with chronic insomnia and with the drugs prescribed to deal with this. And she's with us now to talk about her experiences. Good morning, Miranda.
Good morning.
I almost couldn't sleep when I read about your own experience.
Oh no, that's not my intention, sorry.
Well, it's quite the story. But before we get to your own experience, will you just explain to us what exactly insomnia is?
Right. Well, as you said, the clinical definition is not being able to sleep well for 3 days a week for a period of more than 3 months. So that's this kind of clinical definition. But, you know, obviously it comes in all sorts of shapes and sizes. You can have a few terrible nights before an interview. You know, maybe if you have a new baby, obviously that stops you sleeping. But where it becomes a real problem is when it goes on and it really affects every area of your life.
And for you, your insomnia was triggered by a single event in your life.
Yeah, I mean, I found out suddenly, really, that my marriage had come to an end. And I had a shock reaction to that. But where most people might get over this, you know, obviously it's a big thing, but, you know, where most people might lose a bit of sleep but sort of gradually get over it, I didn't. And it sort of morphed into a standalone problem with, as you mentioned earlier, when I was prescribed certain medications to try and deal with it.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Sophie Bostock, who has written the foreword to your book, she talks about the loneliness of insomnia. Can you relate to that?
Oh, that's the problem. I mean, not only do you feel terrible during the day, at night you feel like the only person who's awake on the planet. You know, if anyone's been through this, they'll know what it's like. You stare at the numbers. You know, it's 1:47, then it's 2:46, then it's 3:30, then it starts to get light, and it's horribly lonely.
Mm-hmm. And you get cross with yourself. You get angry with yourself for not being able to sleep.
You do, which obviously makes it worse. Yeah. You know, you're going, oh my God, I've only got 4 hours, I've got 3 hours, I've got 30 minutes. And then you get yourself into a bit of a tiz, don't you? Especially if you've got something important the next day.
And can you talk to us a little bit about how debilitating insomnia is? You just mentioned there that, you know, you feel terrible during the day and you also feel terrible at night. But I know it's difficult to explain this, and you spend quite a bit of time in the book talking about it.
Yeah.
What is the impact of insomnia on you on a day-to-day basis?
Well, God, well, so many things. I mean, I can only talk about my own experience, obviously, but it felt like I was kind of underwater in a different world to everybody else. You know, I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't think. I lost my sense of humour almost immediately. And, you know, tired doesn't cover it, really. It's just like being separate from everybody else and just... yeah, just like a zombie, mm-hmm. really. I lost my job. You know, I lost my job. I, you know, it got very serious. I lost my job. I had problems, you know, family problems, health problems, physical as well, you know.
So every aspect of your life is hit by this.
Yes, I think so.
And then you did what most people would probably do if they're faced with periods of time when in your book you look at the different nights and you record 0 hours and 0 minutes of sleep. So yeah. When you're in that place, you did what we would most of us do, and you go to your GP, you go to doctors, and you're prescribed sleeping pills. Did they work?
No, not for me. They do work for most people a bit, but the problem is the longer you take them, the less well they work and the more you need, because you become dependent on them. There's a certain kind of drugs called benzodiazepines. Mm-hmm. So they're the things that have... They're related to Valium, and I actually, at one point, I was on Valium myself. So just to add, my GP actually did the right thing. He I mean, arguably he should have investigated other, like, you know, more talking therapies, but he gave me 2 weeks worth, which is what the NICE guidelines say, you know, the from the medical profession. But what happened to me, I was eventually referred to a psychiatrist, and then all hell went loose. I was really in the pill factory, you know, and then that's when I really hit problems.
What were you taking then after that?
What
weren't you taking might be easier, but
there's a tablet called clonazepam, which is like Valium but stronger. Lots of different antidepressants, but they'd stop them, start them overnight. You're not supposed to do that. Then antipsychotics, which you give to people who have psychotic illnesses, you know, where they're hallucinating or they're, you know, feeling paranoid, you're often linked with schizophrenia. I was put on those totally inappropriately, which have their own, you know, their own side effects. I mean, some people really need these drugs, and, you know, I'm not an anti-psychiatry person. You know, antidepressants really help some people, antipsychotics really help some people, but they didn't help me.
Mm-hmm. And you went through 3 years then of sleepless nights before you began psychotherapy, is that right?
Something like that. It might have been a little bit sooner, but I didn't think therapy was, you know, I was one of those slightly sort of stiff upper lip people about therapy. But yeah, of course, I should have started it sooner. I really should have done. But I wasn't in a position to make good decisions about myself.
But it still didn't work because your journey was 8 years. That was quite early on.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Or else maybe it took quite a while to work. Can you explain to us how it
happened?
Well,
it couldn't work because I wasn't sleeping. So obviously in psychotherapy, you're meant to reflect on things and, you know, try and work through issues. But because I was so off my head on pills, and that's really not an exaggeration, you know, my lovely therapist, there was nothing he could do really. So in the end, we had to sort of part company. I mean, he's a friend of mine now. This is what's, you know, but at the time, psychotherapy, I came to it too late, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on the National Health Service in Great Britain, it's not really offered early on. Yeah, that's another thing. Sorry, the therapist I saw was private, and it's not cheap either.
Yes, and yeah, you can go so far with that if you're paying for it yourself. And as you said there, your job was gone and all of the other issues there too. You checked into a rehabilitation clinic, Miranda. That was in year four?
Yes.
How did that go?
Terribly. Okay. So, I mean, most rehab clinics are set up around the 12-step model for treating alcoholism and recreational drug issues. So the first thing to say about that is physically coming off those things, and alcohol does take a while, but if, you know, several days or maybe weeks gradually detox, it takes a long time to come off psychiatric drugs for some people. You know, I've been coming off one of mine, it's taken me 2 years. Okay, I was taken off Valium in about half my dose, which was significant, in about 2.5 weeks. And you're not supposed to do that. You know, it's not appropriate. As well as, you know, some of the stuff for the 12 steps just wasn't really relevant to my life experience.
Yes.
So that that felt a bit alienating.
Yes.
And again, people are really helped by a lot of this stuff. They really are. It just was not right for me.
Okay. Then after rehab, then you went to A&E straight after rehab.
Yeah. I asked them to drop me there because I just felt so mad. I wanted to go into hospital. You know, most people don't really want to go to psychiatric hospitals as a rule, but I just felt like I had to. I thought, you know, I didn't want to go home. I just, you know, I didn't know what to do with myself. I thought maybe there would be an answer there. But I mean, it's a long story again, but I wasn't there for very long, and there wasn't really. They just kept me on the same pills. Mm-hmm. And then I went to a private clinic where they added in more pills. You know, so I didn't really get anywhere there.
So what eventually did work? Do you know what it was that got you to the point that you're at today?
Well, there are a number of things, really. So I moved where I lived to somewhere that was, you know, less stressful, to use a shorthand. But it took a good 2 years after that before I started to feel better. So the main big reason, I think, obviously, who really knows, is that these pills came out of my system. So my sort of mental state improved just organically, if you like, because I did come off them soon after rehab. But then I was able, so even on sleeping 2 or 3 hours a night, I was able to start doing things that actively helped. So I started exercising. I mean, I know people roll their eyes, but it's really important, especially getting out in the morning. Morning light's very good for managing melatonin. That's the hormone in your brain that sort of regulates your body clock. Other things as well, I came across something called cognitive behavior for insomnia, which has really good strategies. You know, like you were saying, we were saying about the looking at the clock and feeling lonely. Yes. And getting stressed. It helps with that. It's like tips how not to turn your bedroom into a battleground. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't say, that's it, I'm never sleeping again, it's a disaster. You say, okay, I'm having a bad night, but I'm a good sleeper. It'll be okay eventually. I'll get through tomorrow. I mean, that's just one example.
And how long do you sleep now, Miranda? I mean, how are you now? Yeah.
Okay, well, let's use the example of last night. I went to bed probably about midnight, actually. I woke up about 5, 6 o'clock, and then I went back to sleep till probably 7. So it's not always in one stretch, but I manage between 6, 6.5, 7 hours right now. I would say that's about standard.
That's a huge improvement then for you.
Yeah. Oh, and life-changing in every way.
How long have you been able to sustain that for? How long has it been like that for you?
I started getting better in sort of January 2019. And I would say, but that was like, you know, incremental. So it was 2, 3 hours, then it was 4, then it was 5. So I would say probably by, well, this long, where are we now, June? I would say probably for 9 months, this long. But, you know, I was certainly going, I was able to function on 4. You know, that's my magic number, the 4-hour rule. Mm-hmm. but, you know, sometimes I have bad nights like everybody else in the world. But I manage it now. It doesn't spiral.
I'm conscious, Miranda, that there will be people listening to us who are probably in the throes now of what you experienced back a number of years ago. And I mean, we can't help but feel desperately sorry for them. But
so sorry.
What words of advice do you have, given where you've travelled over the last 8 years?
Yeah, well, I would say it feels terrible. You have no perspective. You can't see it ever changing or ever you feeling better, but it probably will. So just hang in there, have some hope, do all the things you think might help you. So, I mean, you know, plug, there's a lot of advice in my book, The Insomnia Diaries, but it really is things like keeping a structure and a routine to your day. Have a bath before bed. You know, maybe it's not a good idea to look at your mobile before bed. I mean, to be honest, it's not the same for everybody. Exercise, just keep structure, hang in there and sort of try and tell yourself deep down, it will get better.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a pre-bedtime routine, a sleep hygiene routine?
I do actually. So I write lists all day long, so I don't have the thing I have to do even later that day in my head. So I do a big one of those before bed, underlined in different colours, and then I have a bath. I always have a bath. And there is actually science that says having a warm, not hot, bath or shower an hour before bed will help you fall asleep half an hour more quickly than if you hadn't. Mm-hmm. There's actually a study from the University of Texas, although they call it passive water-based body heating, which I think is hilarious when it's just having a bath. but that helps. I've got a weighted blanket. I have a blanket that weighs a stone. And when I put it on, it's like being sort of tucked in. You know, when you're
I'm really interested to hear this, because I have the weighted blanket thing has popped up on social media feeds. And I thought, oh, I wonder. And you're saying that works then?
For me, it helps me sleep for longer, but I think I sleep deeper and I don't think I wake up as much.
Is it very warm though in the summertime?
You can get summer weighted ones, but I mean, I have to admit, if it's like really hot, that's not true, because in the middle of the night you can just pull it on when it's a bit cooler.
Yes.
But I also use it after I finish work and when I'm watching TV. It's kind of relaxing, and so it gets you in the mood for sleep, even if you aren't going to actually use it on your bed.
Well, Miranda, it's been fascinating to talk to you, and the best of luck with the book, which is called The Insomnia Diaries: How I Learned to Sleep Again. It's out now, published by Astor. Miranda, thank you very much indeed.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed it. Nice to meet
Take
you.
Take care. Now, the inquest into the death of George and Ken Show got underway this morning. We'll get the latest from Barry Lenehan next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.